All right, you're listening to Green Left Radio. And for our first interview for the program, we're very happy to introduce Andrew Shooter. Andrew Shooter is an activist with Fix New South Wales which is a campaign fighting on New South Wales state issues, standing for people before profit. And Andrew has also been very active as well in the campaign against the Westconnex, which we've sort of covered on our program previously. And of course, given this sort of discussion about the state government of New South Wales and Andrew being a kind of consistent sort of campaigner against their policies, following the kind of resignation of Gladys Berejiklian as the Premier of New South Wales, Andrew has also just recently wrote an article for Green Left titled Gladys Berejiklian Sold Out New South Wales. So good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Jacob. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Now, I guess to kind of start off, I guess, this kind of discussion, Andrew, I mean, in contrast to we've seen, like, ever since Gladys Berejiklian resigned, as of, I think it was last weekend, there's been all this kind of media sort of appraisal, praising her as this kind of amazing premier, and it's just a shame she lost out because of some corruption charge. And I guess
they didn't even mention that. Yeah. Right, it's Felix here, Andrew. I'm also in the studio.
G'day.
And what we can sort of start off this kind of discussion in the light of that, what her actual political legacy and track record actually is as a state premier of New South Wales, in your own sort of words and commentary.
Well, you know, in assessing Gladys Berejiklian, you've got to keep in mind that she's been a senior minister in the ongoing 10.5-year government of the Liberal National Government of New South Wales. So for, you know, roughly we'd say like a third of that time, she was the Transport Minister. For a third of that time, she was the Treasurer. And then for the final third, well, actually four years, you know, she's been the Premier. And so during that time, there's just been the continual smashing of New South Wales in so many ways. You know, you've got the conversion and privatisation of the North West Rail Link into a metro that was designed for the very purpose of privatisation and sale to Hong Kong Metro. You've got the building of the Westconnex, you know, some regarded by experts as the greatest waste of public money on a project in Australia's history, the motorway. And you've got the sale of the poles and wires that happened under under Berejiklian's premiership. So there's just sales, privatisations, bad decisions all through, you know, her 10.5 years of being a senior minister and premier.
And I guess I wanted to hear a bit more kind of comments on some of the specifics of her kind of legacy. And and you sort of raised this, I guess, in the argument before you raised it in sort of your response, I guess, her kind of track record of supporting privatisation. And I guess want to hear your sort of take on that, and especially in terms of how this links with the economic kind of ideology of neoliberalism.
Yeah, well, you know, she seems to think, as the rest of the Liberal National Government, that, you know, privatising everything sort of makes it better or more efficient. Not having things in public control, you know, is better. And all of these things are just sold off to, you know, big Liberal donors. So, And they believe that so strongly that all evidence to the contrary is totally brushed aside and ignored. So, for example, with the Northwest Metro, you know, the transport experts were lining up to say, don't convert Sydney's double-deck rail system to single-deck. You'll just halve the capacity of the number of people. Don't make it you know, incompatible with the existing system. Those trains from that rail line will not be able to work on the rest of it. There are other reasons, but nevertheless, went totally ahead with it. And there's so many lies that come around this stuff. You know, you probably, I don't know if you heard, you know, you hear the term in Victoria very much of asset recycling.
I was just going to, ask about that. We don't really experience that in Victoria, but we hear a lot of it from New South Wales.
Well, I mean, it seems to conjure up an environmental aspiration. Oh, recycling, that's good, right? Yeah. What it actually means is privatising a big public asset and then using the money to fund another new project that is specially constructed for the purpose of privatisation. So it privatises what you already got and uses any money that you do have to build more private assets. And that's exactly what happened with the sale of Ausgrid, the poles and wires in New South Wales that actually happened when Berejiklian was Premier. They said, we'll sell that we'll use the money to build infrastructure. But what infrastructure? A private metro, a private toll road. You know, it's just more, it just keeps going on. It never stops.
And, I mean, one of the other things I want to sort of, I want to see here a few kind of other comments, because I think you've given a very kind of good overview of Gladios's kind of real kind of political kind of legacy. And I guess I want to see if you have, I want to hear if you have any kind of comments, I guess, on the ACAC ruling towards Gladios Berejiklian, which has been what led to her resignation. But I guess, I mean, I also want to make a comment that, In the context of all this sort of media kind of coverage, there's actually been a lot of, you know, attacks on the ACAC, including arguing that it should be dismantled. And in fact, one of the weird things, the funny things about it is both sides of politics have been criticizing the ACAC in this period, which is I think it's just very funny. It's almost like...
Oh, it's extremely predictable.
It's almost like essentially the kind of right-wing sort of agenda, really. The right-wing push is, damn it, why can't politicians be corrupt anymore?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Berejiklian should have resigned a year ago when she was first put under questioning in ICAC. Because, you know, when it was discovered that she was in a secret relationship with one of her ministers, Darryl Maguire. Darryl Maguire is the member for Wagga, yet he was trying to organise property deals in the inner city, in Canterbury Bankstown area of Sydney. And, it came to light that he was doing all of these dodgy, corrupt deals. But Berejiklian had been going out with him for 5 years in secret, and phone tap conversations came out that showed him trying to tell her about all his dodgy deals, and she's going, oh, I don't need to know about that, Darryl. I mean...
It's the dumbest level of corruption.
You know, it's like people think that, you should be able to get away with this. I mean, this is just absurd. One thing that Gladys did was she played this kind of, damsel in distress type card. I mean, if you want to think that Berejiklian was somebody who, was advanced the cause of migrants or women, yet she was so straight away. She played this. Oh, I'm poor, defenseless, not very attractive. Needing a man to help me, kind of thing. And I was giddy and in love, and so I turned a blind eye to all the things that Darryl Maguire did. I mean, what a massive step backwards for women, and it's just that she would use that as an excuse.
But I mean, from my kind of interpretation of that, I mean, it's not that she is a damsel in distress necessarily. It is actually just her trying to play that for her own kind of political gain.
Just purely to hang on. Like, the writing was on the wall. I think we could all really see that her days are numbered. Like, I thought so when all this stuff came out. And she was just trying to, like, buy time or something.
Yeah. Well, you know, and then when she did... resigned just on Friday last week. She said, it's terrible. It's right in the middle of a pandemic, right? And what bad timing. Yet when this stuff first came to light a year ago, the, the pandemic was somewhat in abeyance in New South Wales. We were kind of on a high. So if she was thinking, well, is there a good time to resign, it would have been then. But no, she persisted on with this thing. And just back to your point about IACAC, yeah, there's been all of these attackers now. When really it doesn't have the power to prosecute. It's merely doing an investigation. It's doing its job quite well. Yet under successive Liberal governments, its funding has been decreased. So you can see the real agenda there is that they want to shrink it and make it go away and don't let anybody think for a moment that it could be a successful thing so that the pressure is not on Scott Morrison to introduce it at a national level, a federal IACAC, which we desperately need. So there was all of this kind of attack straight away to quash that possibility of a federal IACAC and deny that it's been, IACAC is very popular. You know, in New South Wales, there are stickers on bumper stickers on people's cars. We heart IACAC. You know, I love IACAC. People love it up here. It's fantastic. So, you know, we want one, you know, for the whole country. Thank you very much.
It's definitely, it's envious. Like we're very, we could definitely do with something like that in Victoria.
Well, actually, I wanted to, since we do have a bit of time to ask this kind of question, and you don't have to go into complete kind of detail about it,
yeah.
But, I mean, I wanted to see, we kind of mentioned just COVID-19 response, and, I mean it seems like we might as well have a bit of a comment, you know, because yeah. This has been the thing that has, because one of the things about the COVID-19 pandemic has been is that it makes politicians look good for some bizarre reason.
Yeah.
Essentially, when politicians are responsible for handling a kind of crisis, people already instantly kind of throw out their critical facilities when they're assessing politicians.
Yeah.
So I guess I want to kind of hear, do you have any kind of comments on Gladios's actual kind of response to the COVID pandemic as she was acting premier?
Yeah, well, let's cast our mind back to March of last year. During February, the Diamond Princess cruise ship was pulled into port in Yokohama, Japan, and everybody on board was immediately, held there in quarantine until all the suspected cases, all the suspected cases were put into hospital, and it was a number of weeks, wasn't it, before people were allowed off that ship. It was very carefully handled, and the whole world was watching that. Yet 1 month later, the Ruby Princess was allowed to dock in Sydney with like 7 or 8 cases, which later turned out to be 700 cases. And to all 2,700 people on board that ship were allowed to get off and just walk around in circular quay and spread around the country.
Yeah, in interstate as well.
So that was 10% of Australia's whole entire caseload at the time, and ended up resulting in 28 deaths. So, that was a massive, massive blunder that should have seen a couple of ministers or the Premier resign. But, you know, nothing of that sort happened.
Yeah, it does seem that she's quite untouchable. And I think, like, from my perspective here, is she's got the year of the Murdoch press. And
yeah.
When that happens, it's just no criticism can stick. Because they're the ones who are in charge of the outrage machine, and if you don't have any outrage against you, you're kind of fine.
You know, every trick in the book is pulled out to defend Gladys on that. You know, and it should be noted that actually the total number of cases in New South Wales of COVID is double. It's 66,000 as at today. In total over the period of the pandemic, where it's something like 30,000 in Victoria. So, that should be borne in mind. Now, admittedly, Victoria has had more deaths, but perhaps that might be attributed to that, we're having our worst phase here in New South Wales at the same time as so many people are vaccinated.
Yeah, particularly old and vulnerable people.
That is it. But also, there's a lot of hypocrisy in the lockdowns here. I mean, a lot of the cases that have emerged in New South Wales have come from, you know, the wealthier areas, the east and the north, where people seem to be freely allowed to circulate on Bondi Beach and Manly Beach, and then in Avalon, and then they spread out from there. But the moment you get one case in southwest of Sydney, well, it's lockdowns galore for all of the workers in southwest Sydney.
Right. I didn't realise that the lockdown apartheid was so strong.
Yeah, it is very strong, particularly in southwest Sydney.
And the cases are actually they're quite bad in the wealthy areas. That's I hadn't realised.
Yeah,
that.
You know, and it's often those people might be more mobile. I mean, you know, there was a whole string of cases that were spread. I don't know if you heard about it, but it was like a guy who was involved with barbecues galore, and he was going around every barbecue in Sydney and spread the virus all throughout Sydney. And and we had our own sort of mini public housing lockdown just about 3 weeks ago. It was actually in an affordable housing complex called Common Ground in Camperdown. And, you know, the police were just opening people's, food orders and only allowing one beer a day into the people in that building. It was incredibly punitive. It just wouldn't happen. There's no way it would happen to people in an ordinary private unit block. So why it had to happen for people in affordable housing is beyond me.
We did actually interview.
Yeah, we did a bit of interview. Actually, I might move on to the kind of next question, but I'll just make one comment before I move on to the last kind of question we'll sort of get to ask.
Yeah.
Basically, I mean, just one kind of comment on that. I mean, I think one of the things about the Gladios sort of COVID-19 response was, obviously, there's the whole kind of issue of the fact, I mean, there's a lot of criticism of Gladios for, you know, not kind of locking down early enough, et cetera. Although that said, some recent developments in Victoria actually sort of show that might not necessarily be the most valid critique. But of course, I think it does, we need to sort of reflect a bit more critically on that. Mm. But I guess the actual thing you can hang COVID, the COVID response on Gladios is the fact that, you know, really, this kind of disproportionate kind of police kind of response. There was also the fact that, for the most of the part, when it came to, the way they applied their lockdown, you know, if they were to make a kind of effective lockdown, it should have been the same rules for everyone, not just have different rules for different people based on their class or based on which electorate they are. Because it does feel disproportionately, people who weren't Liberal voters got the worst at it, because really a lot of those LG local government areas that were locked out, they generally were Labor supported heartlands.
I mean. I would suspect that it goes beyond just like the political calculation, and it is totally class based. It's like we deserve better and they deserve to be kicked around.
Yeah, but now going into the kind of next kind of question, and this is kind of a bit, I'm probably the last kind of question we can sort of ask, and you can feel free to sort of make your kind of final comments, because now we've been talking about really the legacy of Gladios Berejiklian, and really now she's actually resigned. And this is a classic thing about the nature of capitalism. You rightfully, someone gets the boot for being corrupt. Now we think, oh, that's a bit of a victory under capitalism. But then all of a sudden it appears Gladios is now replaced with someone even more right wing than her.
Gladios is supposed to be a moderate.
Dominic Perrottet. And I guess he is now served as her replacement. And I guess what are your kind of comments on this?
Yeah, well, it's as though we get punished for exposing corruption. You're not allowed to do that, because we've got someone in the wings who's even worse than what you currently have.
Mm.
People were kind of reluctant to punish Berejiklian's corruption because of who is waiting in the wings. Well, look, I say bring it on, because Perrottet it probably will be worse, but at least hopefully we won't have the illusion that he's a nice person. Or that he's a nice guy.
Oh, an accelerationist, I like that.
Well, what I mean is, the way the it works in New South Wales. It's a 4-year term. It's fixed length. There's little to no chance of, you know, having a state election unless the Governor General, you know, declares it and all of that sort of stuff. So, basically, at least I hope that people with Perrottet, the new Premier, being a Trump supporter, being a right-wing anti-abortion, you know, supporter, that at least people might sort of be a bit more critical of the things that he does compared to how critical they were of Gladys Berejiklian.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. A lot of people liked a lot of Gladys Berejiklian's story for her, you know, who she was, the Armenian migrant, female yep. premier, and like a supposed moderate, in the Liberal Party. And it blinded them to the incredibly right-wing and reactionary politics that she actually has, and especially, as you were saying, with the neoliberal privatisations. We do need someone who's sort of represents the politics that they really have, so maybe that, you know, that will help.
Yeah. That was funny. Yeah, you said accelerationist. Of course, accelerationist. I don't hope to bring on things worse in the past, but what I hope is that that at least he's limited or curtailed in some ways because people won't give him a free pass way that they seem to give Berejiklian a free pass. It remains to be seen how he'll go. There are some more moderate people in his party like Matt Keane and Rob Stokes around him that may curtail some of the things that he would like to do. I don't put my hope on that. We shouldn't have our standards so low that we're happy as long as somebody is not the worst. You know, we shouldn't go, oh, that's the worst. You know, or Gladys wasn't the worst. Well, man, it's still very far below what would be good or what would be expected or required if you were actually acting in the people's interest.
And I think just to, you know, round out this point is that I think fundamentally the politics are the same. Gladys Berejiklian, Dominic Perrottet, all of those leaders are all in the right-wing ruling class. Their politics are almost identical, and it's just some surface, superficial differences between them that people get really caught up in, and it's kind of irrelevant how they present themselves.
Yeah, that's just... They're just squabbling over the details of how best to sell out New South Wales.
Yeah.
So, if your motives are bad, I actually hope that you're not good at doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Gladys, by that, was very good at doing bad things. And that's the only sense in which you might say that she was good. She was she worked extremely hard to achieve bad results.
That's right. That's why John Howard is my least favourite Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Angel. Well, but I'm probably getting a bit out of time, but I think you have made a lot of great sort of... this has been a very great kind of discussion on I think, the legacy of Gladys Berejiklian, especially in contrast to all the kind of mainstream sort of coverage that we have been getting on her sort of legacy. Thank you very much for being on our program, Andrew.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Jacob, I just love the way that you handled Berejiklian so well, but mess up Gladys.
Maybe I should remember that her first name is actually pronounced in a similar way to I forgot what it was, but there's another thing called Gladius. But yeah.
Oh, you might be thinking of Gladys, the Barry Humphreys flower that he was always talking about, that Damien Everidge always has a posy of Gladys, you know, gladioli's flowers. Anyway.
Don't think Jacob would remember that.
All right. Well, thank you, Andrew. And, all the best with your continuous campaigning against New South Wales state government policy.
Okay, will do. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks.
Bye.